We are doing this here because we really want to make sure people know about the latest wellness trends and also whether they are science sound, if you will. And so that's what we want to do. And if one person listens to it, or 100 or 1,000, as long as we spread the message of science-based wellness, I'm very happy. So welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Well Yes. I'm Walter, co-founder of Hum, and I'm here with
Sarah, I'm a functional medicine dietitian.
All right, Sarah. So today we're talking about breakfast, which I'm really excited about. I never skip breakfast. And then I was like, hold on a second. It's one of my favorite things. I really look forward to breakfast every day. But I'm curious, as an RD, do you ever skip breakfast?
I wish the answer to that was no. I used to be really consistent. Like, I was also very much looking forward to breakfast, thinking about it before I went to bed and getting excited about it. Life has been a little more chaotic. I have a 5-year-old, and that kind of shifted things a little bit. But I would say maybe 1 or 2 days a week, I skip it just because life is chaotic. But I always try and sit down. I'm making my kid breakfast. We sit down and we eat together and we talk about. I mean, he talks about the most random stuff, but we do eat breakfast. And I do really, really believe in the power and the importance of breakfast. And it makes me feel better.
Does it? What do you have for breakfast to begin with? Are you more of a sort of savory person for breakfast or a sweetheart?
I like dinner for breakfast. I love leftovers. If there is any type of leftover, I usually like to eat that for breakfast. Or I like to do like a bowl. That's really like something warm, something nourishing. I always focus on like, can I get more protein in this? That's usually where I go. I did I think like a year or two ago, I did this really fun post on Instagram about the breakfast salad, which was a good one. And it was greens and seeds and nuts and eggs and grapes. And it was just so delightful and so good because I like to, think about breakfast as not having to be in this eggs and toast and, like that box.
Well, I love a good avocado toast. I've been replacing butter with avocado for like 30 years now. So in the beginning,
Wow.
it was like,
Before it was
I
trendy.
know I'm such a trendsetter. No, I'm joking. But literally, because I had at that time, I thought I was like, dairy intolerant. And anyway, I had this phase. I don't think it's true, but I just wanted to replace the butter with something else. So I landed on avocado and I loved it. And I love, of course, eggs. Prefer them poached, although trying to make poached eggs is really hard. But the trick is to put vinegar into the boiling water. Did you know that? And then it's much.
No, I didn't know. I don't usually mess with poached eggs. I'm like a scrambled kind of a
That's
lady.
the secret. And you get one of those little spoons to help you with that. It's not so hard in the end, but it's still a mess basically. But I love poached eggs on avocado toast.
Yes, that's really
With
good.
smoked salmon. But you mentioned salad as well, which is really interesting because last week I didn't have bread at my house at my home, and I just replaced bread with salad. So I had like an egg, a soft boiled egg with salad, and it just filled me up as much. I was very happy. It was delicious. So I think that's a good hack as well. How do you like your eggs?
I like them scrambled and like hard. I don't like any goo in my egg. If there's like any like hint of goo, ugh, no.
Chicken as well. I remember those days. So you had probably every day eggs, I would imagine.
I mean, I can deal with goo a little bit. Like if it's on the avocado toast, that's good. Or if it's mixed with bread. I used to, when I was younger, my parents would make me something. What do we call it? Or it was like a bird's nest or eggs in a basket, something like that. But it was like chopped up bread with a runny egg on top. And that I liked because the bread absorbed it. But other than that, oof.
All right, I know what to serve to you.
Yeah, give me the hard eggs.
You mentioned skipping breakfast, and that happens to a lot of people. Actually, 25% of the US population skips breakfast, which and they do it daily, which is a huge amount. I'm surprised to learn about this stat. And I would love to unpack this a little bit. Is breakfast actually a meal you should skip or not, right? That's really what I was trying.
Yeah, that's like the burning question.
So, do we have any sort of research that helps us out here?
Yeah, well, if you look at the research, the general consensus is eating breakfast is very, very important when it comes to managing your weight. And I think it's somewhere like 44 to 48% of people that skip breakfast are actually more at risk for being overweight or obese. So there is really good data that shows that skipping breakfast is not the best healthy foundation to set for yourself. And it does matter what you eat. But it almost like when you look at the research, having calories in the morning is very, very important. To go further and to have even more health benefits, having more protein at that meal is really important. And then, I mean, we've talked on the podcast about intermittent fasting, and you know, that kind of does have you skip breakfast, but I feel like that's kind of a step further. It's like first you have to master eating breakfast, then you have to master the quality and quantity of what you're eating. And then as you kind of move through your wellness journey and you're more connected to your body, you can play around with more intentional meal skipping. But for most people starting out, if you want to get into a healthy routine, yes, breakfast to me is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah, and you mentioned the research, and I think one was interesting, which mentioned that when you do skip breakfast, the hunger hormone, ghrelin, did I pronounce this correctly?
Yeah, ghrelin.
Actually tends to be increased later in the day. So what people do miss out when it comes to calorie intake in the morning, they actually make up for later in the day, and actually they
Yeah.
overeat in the day. So that's really the correlation there. Is there I always heard this, and I'm just curious what your perspective is, like that it's sort of like breakfast kickstarts your metabolism. Is this sort of a old wives' tale, or is that something that has real I would say validity?
The research is mixed on that. I mean, if you look at it from a biological standpoint, and even the word breakfast, I only learned this recently and it blew my mind, but breakfast is break
Fast.
fast. So inherently, what that means is it is breaking, it's ending your fast. So it is turning on your metabolism. It's getting you ready to digest it. It's doing that. But what I think is really important is the quality and what you're eating. Because if you're breaking your fast with sugar cereal or a muffin, which is in most cases like a piece of cake, it's not setting you up for blood sugar stability and that hormone regulation that you mentioned, right? Like ghrelin is a hormone and that's regulated by what we're eating. Because if you eat all this sugar and all of these things that are just not satiating, like if you're not getting good fiber, fat, and protein, then you're on this blood sugar roller coaster where your blood sugar spikes up and then your body wants to bring it back down. And now all of a sudden you're hungry and that ghrelin is present. And then you eat something for fast energy and it just becomes this kind of chaotic, erratic day. Because once you're hungry, it's harder to sit and be like, okay, let me make a good choice. You're hungry and you're like, I need to eat.
And you bring up something really interesting, which is obviously your blood sugar levels, right? And it's not just a question on what you eat, but also the sequence. So if you really crave those sweet things in the morning, I love a good cinnamon roll, sure, but I never have it first. I have my hearty, savory breakfast, and then if I'm still feeling like a little something, I may have a little bit of a cinnamon roll.
Yes.
And I do think it has to do with your glucose spikes, really, like, you know, because your body doesn't get exposed to immediately this huge amount of sugar that goes
Yeah.
through the bloodstream, but you're actually digesting more complex foods like proteins, etc., healthy fats.
Yes.
So I think the sequence is also important, not just like the you know, what you have for breakfast. So if you it's a good hack, I find, if you want sweets in the morning, maybe try something
Yes.
right beforehand, and then maybe see whether that makes, you know, less of an impact when it comes to sugar crashes afterwards. But you
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion, right? Because it's not like sweet things are inherently bad. It's just the quantity and how we're using them. You know, like if we're using them to get through the day or to feel better, to get all that dopamine going, we just want to be aware of that relationship. So, like you said, with protein, fiber, and fat, you're stabilizing blood sugar. You're not going to get these big extreme spikes and bumps because it takes a lot longer for those foods to digest and break down. So your body's going to be working a little bit harder to get that sugar out of it, and then it's just going to release slower. So if you already have that good base, having something sweet afterwards is a great, great suggestion.
Well, before we cook up the perfect breakfast together, let's look at a few studies as well. So you mentioned already there was this correlation between obesity and skipping breakfast. I believe there were over 45 studies that looked into this. And here are the sort of cross-sectional findings. 48% of people who skipped breakfast or rarely eat breakfast had a 48% higher odd of being overweight or obese, and 31% higher odd of abdominal obesity compared to frequent breakfast eaters. So the numbers are very, very clear here, and I thought they were fascinating. Just typically, you see, perhaps percentages in the single digits or maybe the low teens, but that.
Yeah, that's a high number. That's almost 50%.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think a really important takeaway is like eating breakfast, because there was another study that we looked at as well that looked at no breakfast versus a normal breakfast, which is 13 grams of protein, versus a high protein breakfast, which was 35 grams of protein. And it was kind of like I mentioned, like that incremental improvement where no breakfast, problematic. The normal breakfast, good. It's going to get you your calories. It's going to get you a little bit of stability, and it's going to help offset that later eating in the day. And then that high protein breakfast, even better. So I liked just kind of seeing that information, the research that's out there, to really say, like, just eat breakfast, step one. And then you can really get into, okay, can we up the protein? Because that's really the next recommendation that's super beneficial.
All right, let's do something we've never done on this podcast, which is make a recipe together. All right, so let help me help like let's get okay. So I heard eggs and protein a lot. So should we include eggs into our perfect breakfast for the morning? What do you think?
Yeah, as long as they're cooked very well. I'm not gonna let you poach it. We're
I like them runny, so that will really make you.
gonna have to find a happy medium.
I think we can sort of eggs are easily done in different ways.
Okay, I'll meet you halfway.
What else should we add to this? You mentioned salad earlier. How about a few vegetables?
Yeah, I think we could do some microgreens would be fun. I love microgreens, good for detox.
Love microgreens. Okay.
And then either like a nice bread or a quinoa or something complex carby. I think that I always like that because that helps keep me full. And
And
oh, what you mentioned, avocado.
avocado. Let's add some avocado. I think that's good because it's a fat, right? But it's a healthy fat that's generally good for you, but it really keeps you full and gives you that energy release that lasts a little bit longer than just that pure
Yes.
diet.
And if we want to get it spicy, like gut spicy, I love to put sauerkraut. So sauerkraut on an egg is really, really good. Like even if you're doing the avocado toast, because right, you could do this with like a quinoa base or on a piece of toast. Egg, avocado, sauerkraut. Now you have this very rich probiotic, high protein, healthy fat, good fiber breakfast. And now I'm hungry.
Me too. Me too. I just had a little bit of avocado toast this morning before coming here. There was a bit of an irrigation system drama at home. I'm not going to tell you about that. I was digging out pipes in the garden, and then I
No,
realized
you don't. I don't. We have the same thing going on. We are in chaos.
always something. How about smoked salmon? Because I always hear from people that salmon is great, but smoked salmon can be problematic. Is that true or not? And I believe it's because of the high sodium content. Is that right? Or
Yeah,
what?
it can be sodium and then also nitrates. That can be another problematic part of the smoked salmon. I love it. I mean, I'm Jewish. I feel like that's like in my DNA to be like, I like grew up eating it. Yeah, lox, exactly. So for me, it's a really, really good breakfast option. Like a piece of toast with cream cheese, or you could do cottage cheese. That's a little weird, but I love cottage cheese. And smoked salmon is so. It's so good. I love salty. I love that, like,
Oh my God, you know what's really
ugh.
delicious? If you like cottage cheese, Do you like goat's cheese as well or not?
I love all dairy. It doesn't love me all the time, but
Yeah, but goat's cheese with avocado mixed. Have you ever tried that? It's delicious.
no.
Really nice. And it makes it's amazing. It's an amazing spread. Try that for breakfast. All right, we're making good progress here.
I
Can we
think we've
add
got a whole
yeah, so
whole menu.
run a breakfast restaurant at this point. All right, let's drive in. How about a smoothie? What's your perspective here? Would you add a smoothie to your breakfast or are we good?
Oh yes. I have a history with smoothies. I used to work for a very large blender company, and I spent every single morning having a smoothie and probably for lunch and a snack. Oh, here's an interesting story too. So my husband and I met on OkCupid. This was like
I never heard
10,
this.
over
Okay,
10 years
so this
ago.
is like something I've known Sarah for like well over a decade now. So this is good. All right, keep going.
I didn't, you, oh yeah, you didn't know this. Okay. So John and I met on OkCupid, and on OkCupid you had profile names, and I don't remember what mine was, but John's was Shakes Are Good. And it was a picture of him drinking a smoothie, and I was like, done, sold, sign me up. Like, so smoothies are like a very, very near and dear big part of my life.
Love it first bite. Okay.
Love it for a sip.
Yeah, I know I was trying to make it up, but like, yeah, but I couldn't. That was much better. Love it first. All right.
Yeah, so I love smoothies. I think again, you have to look at composition because you can do a total fruit bomb. There's certain smoothie bars that you can go to where I'm like, "What's in that?" And they have like syrups and like that's not a healthy smoothie. So for me, I have to very much specify that it's a handful of greens, a scoop of protein powder, nuts and seeds. I love putting hemp seeds in my smoothie. A nut milk and cacao nibs because I'm a chocoholic. But to me, that's like, And then like half a banana and a couple strawberries.
Nice. Okay, I'm really hungry now. Last but not least, orange juice. I love fresh squeezed orange juice. So I squeeze it myself with one of those little things, in your hand. And what do you think? Is it because it's a lot of sugar, orange juice, isn't it? But like, what's your when you get a vitamin C, of what do you think?
I mean it does have a lot of nutrients. It's good from that perspective. However, I don't typically recommend juice for most people because also when you look at a lot of the research, that's where a lot of added sugar comes from are juices. Fresh squeezed orange juice, if you're doing it yourself, that's pretty great. Like you're getting that vitamin C. But I always suggest eating the whole fruit because then you're getting all the fiber. And when you have the fiber, you have that stabilization of the blood sugar spike. So now you can have it and it's not going to spike out your blood sugar. However, if you had it with food, if you had it with a high protein breakfast and it's a small glass, that's another thing that's very like European versus American, right? Like European small glass, American, it's like a ball jar. And you're like, you don't need that much orange juice, but
That's like a pound of ice on top of that, right?
yeah, like I'm curious, how big is your glass of orange juice?
That's tiny. It's literally one orange that I just squeeze. And okay, so this is like more information here, but like I love my plants and I have these two semi-dwarf orange trees that produce about 8 oranges every year. I'm very proud of them. My favorite week of the year when I can have those oranges, they're fantastic. And that's pretty much it. But they're so good. They're lovely. So yeah, I have very little, just one orange that I squeeze.
Yeah. And so that's important too, is quantity. And if you're having a little bit with a balanced breakfast, that's great. Otherwise, if you're working on stabilizing your weight, having healthier habits and routines, I always suggest instead of the juice, go for the whole fruit because then you're just getting a lot more benefits. Good fiber, good for your gut, all
Yeah,
that good stuff.
fiber is literally, I think it's like 90% of the population doesn't get enough fiber. So it's like
Yeah, it's a
one of
high stat.
the you can't get enough of basically.
Yeah.
Right, and like, look, we discussed protein, and as you mentioned, like, aiming for like quite a high amount of protein, ideally up to 35 grams for breakfast is really the gold standard. But maybe start with 13 if you don't have any proteins in the morning and then work your way up. Let's talk about oatmeal because that's something,
Yeah.
that's a lot of people have, right? So like, let's get into it. Like, oatmeal is big. What's your perspective?
Oatmeal is a really good complex carbohydrate. Good for the gut, really good to help if you're constipated, pulls water into the intestines. I like it from that perspective. You can add things to it to slow down the absorption. Like you can add coconut oil or you can add hemp seeds, chia seeds, flaxseed to it to make it a little bit more stabilized. Even protein powder. I used to do a scoop of protein powder in my oatmeal. It looked horrific, but it was good and I liked it. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, it's good. And also another thing that's really interesting with oatmeal is that if you cook it versus if you do overnight oats, it actually has a lower glycemic response if it's overnight oats versus cooked oatmeal. So overnight oats are a really good option to keep you full, to get good nutrients, all of those things. So I like it. I think
One
what?
RD. Whenever I meet an RD, it's like, I bet you had overnight oats for breakfast. And they're like, how do you know? It's like, it's literally the RD choice number. I mean, I don't know. It's for some reason, it seems.
Yeah, it's good and it's easy and you can stick it in your fridge. I have all the ingredients to make overnight oats. I just haven't done it yet. But yeah, it's such a good one for an easy to grab breakfast. So I'm a fan of oats. I think it's also important when you're looking at what's good for me, right? Because nutrition is very personalized. And I think we've talked about in a podcast at some point that the future of nutrition, in my opinion, is personalization, is really knowing like, okay, oatmeal is good in research. It can stabilize blood sugar when it's overnight oats, but how does that actually work in my body? So a continual glucose monitor or a CGM is a really important tool when you're going on the path of discovery and health, and to see like, does oatmeal actually sit well with you? Because for some people, it can spike them out, and some people, it stabilizes.
And I would layer into that genetics as well. So I think this comes
Yeah.
like personalized nutrition, understanding your genetics, measuring how your body reacts to things, and then tailoring your diet and lifestyle to that. That's really the holy grail, if you will. And I think that's why we see so many trends come and go, because
Yeah.
it work for a few people so well, and then they get out there on social media, share their results, they're amazing and this and that, and then everybody jumps on that train, and then things follow. And I think you're making a really good point here, which I think, is always like the key message here. Look for the signs, but also pay attention to what
Yeah.
he says, right?
Yeah.
That is really, really critical. All right, let's do our well yes and well no's for the week. Sarah, what
Right. You want? Okay. Well, my well, yes, is obviously a protein smoothie because that's where I met my husband. So that's gonna be my well, yes. And my well, no, is skipping breakfast.
All right. Well, that's right on topic, I would say. My well yes is, as you can guess, avocado toast with poached eggs and salmon in the morning. Absolutely love that. Could have it every day, never gets boring. And my well no is starting with something sweet. It just creates those sugar crashes afterwards. I just don't feel great. But I like to squeeze in the odd cinnamon roll. I just adore cinnamon, and cinnamon rolls are just so good. And that, when they have that icing on top of it, even better. Just a little bit, not too much, but that's my so well know starting with a sweet
I get that. I used to, this is making me think now about like my past. When I was in high school, I begged my mom to get me those brown sugar Pop-Tarts. Have you
Oh my
seen
God.
those?
I
Those
have.
are horrifying.
They're terrible. And whenever I have European visiting me in Los Angeles, the first thing they want to do, they go to Starbucks and they have these lollipops that look like Pop-Tarts. Have you seen those?
Oh, I've seen the cake pops.
Cake pops, that's what they love. They love that,
Oh
basically.
my God. Yeah, these cinnamon sugar. Ooh, it was like so intensely sugary and I loved it. And I can't imagine it made me feel good, but I was in high school and I feel like you can get away with a lot, but I just remember like the gooey cinnamon and it was so sweet. And yeah, I get that cinnamon one.
All right, let's do our RD rapid fire. And this
Okay.
breakfast favorites. You know how this goes. You rank things from 1 to 10. If it's a 1, that's not so ideal, and a 10, that's absolutely fantastic. All right, already rapid fire breakfast favorites. Here we come. Eggs,
10,
scrambled tofu,
10,
bacon,
5,
cinnamon rolls,
4,
a frappuccino,
1,
lucky
0.
charms, granola. Like, commercially produced granola, of course.
Oh, 4.
Toast with butter.
Four.
A breakfast burrito.
Nine.
A smoothie with protein powder.
Ten.
Miso soup. That's an interesting one.
I like that. I'm gonna say eight.
I would give that a 10. It's so good for you. But like, that's me personally. But it's delicious.
Yeah.
I just ate Japanese for the morning. Peanut toast.
Five.
A fruit plate. And let's be more specific here. I would put on this fruit plate, pineapple and papaya because they have digestive enzymes. I hate watermelon or any melons in the morning, basically. What's on your fruit plate, Sarah? Is that a good thing or not a bad thing?
Oof, I mean, I love melon. Honeydew, like a ripe honeydew. Ugh, and watermelon. I'm gonna give that a six.
All right, salad.
Eight.
Avocado toast.
Eight.
You're about to break my heart here. Overnight oats.
Nine.
And last but not least, no breakfast.
Zero.
All right, thanks, Sarah. Well, listen, this was awesome. Just as a reminder, breakfast can be really beneficial to keep your, cravings in check throughout the day, but also get those critical nutrients in first thing. Remind yourself to look for those proteins. They really, really help. And I would always suggest, pay attention to how you feel afterwards, and then tailor your breakfast around that. Anyway, Sarah, that was a pleasure as always. Love
Yeah,
breakfast.
so fun.
And now I'm going to make myself an avocado toast with salmon for sure.
Sounds delicious.
Thank you.